Good evening, Spanish River. My name is Brian Herring. I serve as one of the pastors here at the church, and it is good to be together with you, even if it is over this unique medium that we're maybe not used to for a Good Friday service. One of the things we say is that the church is not a place, it's a people. And even if the people gather virtually, we are gathering together, and we're a church. And so I want to open us up in prayer and ask the Spirit's blessing on this time together, that he would not only speak through me, but that he would open our hearts to what he has for us to learn and be reminded of this evening. So pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, in the uniqueness of this season, there's one thing that is not unique. There's one thing that is constant. And that is our Creator, the God of the universe, our Savior and Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would join us in this time. Lord, that you would calm our hearts within us. That you would clear not just our hearts, but our minds, that our ears would be open to the truths that you have for us to hear. Lord, that ultimately, above all else, you would be glorified as we're reminded not only of the cross, but the death of Jesus on it. In his name alone do we pray always. Amen. Amen. So we're gathering here this evening to be reminded of not only the cross, but the death of Jesus. Samuel Johnson said that far more often than being instructed, we need to be reminded. And what this time is it's an opportunity for us as believers, those who look to Jesus as our Savior and our hope, it's an opportunity for us to be reminded of the importance not only of the cross, but its truth in our lives. See, so often we almost operate as spiritual amnesiacs. An amnesiac is somebody who forgets constantly, right? And we do the same thing. We are being bombarded right now, bombarded with all these other voices. We hear it in the media. We hear it from friends. We hear it from family. We hear it from neighbors. And all of them are competing worries, competing anxieties that are feeding into our souls. And we just need an opportunity to say, no, stop. Stop, because when I focus on all of those other voices, what happens is I forget God. I forget who is ultimately sovereign and in control even over this. And it's an opportunity for us to just put the brakes and say, no, I need to be reminded. I don't need any more instruction. I'm getting more instruction than I could ever deal with. But this is an opportunity for us to be reminded. And tonight, what we're being reminded of is we're being reminded of the cross, of the death of Jesus. Now, death is not something that we typically celebrate. Death is not something that we like to think about or contemplate on, right? Death is the enemy. Death is a virus. Death is a consequence of our sin against a holy and just God. It is evidence of the fact that this world is broken, that sin has broken it, that we are alienated, not just from each other, but we're alienated from God himself. And that judgment, that wrath has been shown out in death. And yet here's the paradox, right? This is one of the uniquenesses about our faith, is that we celebrate death, and one death in particular, one death above anything else, and that is the death of Jesus. I mean, we sing songs about the death of Jesus. We sing songs with some pretty gruesome lyrics, but we sing them to these upbeat and really joyful melodies because we recognize something in that there is a beauty in the death of Jesus. There is a beauty in the cross. One way that I look at this and I think would be helpful for us to understand is, look, I used to live in New England. I went to school up in Boston. And my favorite time of the year was always the autumn. I loved it because I would go up to New Hampshire and we'd either go backpacking in the White Mountains or we'd head up and go climbing in Rumney or North Conway. And in these areas, you would look out over these beautiful landscapes of valleys just exploding in these magnificent colors. It was gorgeous. But honestly, my favorite was when I lived in Wyoming. And I would sit atop the Teton Range and I'd look down into Jackson Valley and these aspen trees, every single one of them in the valley, would explode into this nuclear yellow in the autumn. But the interesting part about that is when we look at those leaves that are changing, what are we reminded of in that? We're reminded that it's death. Those leaves are dying, and I pick up one of those beautiful aspen leaves. It's just this brilliant yellow. It's a picture of death. And when we look at the cross, what do we see? But we see God's canvas. We see his gorgeous autumn landscape in the beauty and the wonder of death, of the death of Jesus on the cross. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. He said, "You will never know God as Father except by Jesus Christ." Hear him in this. And in particular, by his death upon the cross. Look there. Look at the cross. Gaze at it. Meditate. Survey the wonderful cross. And then you will see something of him. You will see something of Jesus. And so that's what I want us to do tonight. I want us to be reminded very briefly and very quickly, but we're going to look and we're going to meditate and we're going to gaze at the cross and we're going to take away three truths to be reminded of this evening. If you have your Bibles, open up to Galatians chapter 2. We're just going to look at one verse. It's verse 20. So perhaps you have a Bible, open up to Galatians chapter 2. It's a letter written by Paul to a church in Galatia. Or if you're on your phone, you could open up the Bible app. But here's the thing, that might close out this feed that we're watching it on. So don't worry, it's going to show up in the lower third. You can follow along with us. Paul writes this. This is the word of the Lord found in Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20. He says this. He says, Church, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who now lives in me. Paul says this, and the life I now live in the flesh, this body that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I love this verse. This verse is found obviously in Galatians here, but Galatians, the entire theme of Galatians focuses on the cross and the death of Jesus. And this verse is really the pinnacle, the high point, the focus point of that letter for Paul. And the first truth that I want us to pull out of this as we're looking at this one verse is found at the very beginning. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ." When we look at the cross, we need to be reminded of the fact that when we look at Jesus on the cross, that is God with us. God with us. In this particular passage, and Paul will do this later when he writes Romans in chapter 6. He's going to go into this in even more detail. One of the great surprises and beauties of this is the fact that Christian, you spiritually, your sin, your former self has been crucified with Christ. You have been united with Christ. He is your representative. And your sin has been crucified with him. But it's so much more than that. It's the fact that our Savior is with us in our suffering and in our brokenness. Look, all of us understand loneliness. We understand isolation. I mean, come on, let's be real. We're in isolation right now. And you know that feeling of alienation and loneliness. You know that feeling of just, man, like, where is everybody? That's a part of human existence. Even if there wasn't a quarantine going on, you still know that. You know about broken relationships. You know about broken friendships or just friendships that have petered out over time. That is a consequence of sin. Sin has broken relationships, creating isolation and loneliness on a horizontal level. That's all the people around us. Sin has destroyed that. But more importantly than that, sin has destroyed the most important relationship, and that's the vertical one between us and God. And so we've isolated ourselves. We've alienated ourselves. We brought upon hurts, destructions, brokenness, despair. And we look around the world right now, and we see that. I've mostly stayed at home, but I've had to go out to get food or certain things for our home and for my family. I've been out at stores and I've heard people screaming at each other at the checkout lines. I've felt the tension. I've felt the isolation. I've felt the fear. And in those moments, we can say, God, where are you in this? What is going on? I see brokenness. I see hurt. I see people dying in hospitals. I see people struggling to breathe. God, where are you in this? And in the midst of that, when I look at the cross, I'm reminded of the fact that, yes, God is with me because God doesn't need to answer the why. Jesus is his answer for our suffering. Jesus is the answer to our cry because it is God with us. The author of Hebrews, when he writes, he says, look, he's like, we don't serve a high priest. We don't serve a God. It's not Jesus who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But he says, we serve one. We serve a high priest. We have a Savior who has suffered and dealt with brokenness and isolation and fear in every way that we have. Yet he has done it without sin. Now I look at the cross and I realize my sin's up there as well, but this is God's answer to my suffering. This is God's answer to all of our suffering and loneliness. It is God with us, not a God who just left us alone to our sin and our demise, but entered into it. But the second truth is just as important, and I'd say even more comforting and encouraging, is the fact that, look, it's not just that God is with us. It's not just that he came as our representative, but he also came as our substitute. The second truth that I take away from this, when I look at this passage, is that when we look at the cross, it displays that it is God instead of us. Look at the very end of verse 20 in chapter 2 of Galatians. What does Paul say? He says, the Son of God, this is God the Son, God in human flesh, he says, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Look, it's not just that God can identify with my suffering that's been caused by my sin, but that he's going to make it his own. It's not just that God doesn't suffer with us. No. But he suffers for us. And that's the beauty of all of this. That's the beauty of the gospel and of the cross. I look up there and I see, that should be me. But like Paul, I understand that in my sin, I can't deal with that. And Christ is taking it on himself. Look at it this way. This is my Bible, but let's say that this was a picture. Or not a picture, it's actually microfilm. It's every single sin that I have ever committed were written in here. So this is everything that I've ever thought, every action that I've performed, every word that I've said that has been contrary to God's law, that has been a rebellion against him, has been recorded in this book. And if this is me and this is God, you and I have been created to be in a relationship with one another. An absence of fear, an absence of insecurity, an absence of isolation and loneliness. No, we're joined with our Creator, but that sin has blocked us. This is why I feel alienated. This is why I feel fear. This is a God who said, I am a spring of living water. And I've said, no, I'm not thirsty. This is a God who said, I bring fellowship. And I've said, no, I spur your friendship. This is a God who said, I give life. And we've said, no, I want my own path that leads to death and destruction. And this sin, I can't get rid of it. Look, I can turn my life around, right? I can do it. I can turn over a new leaf. New Year's resolutions once again, but it never deals with the problem because the sin is still there. In the book of Isaiah, the prophet says that all of us have gone our own way. All of us have sinned against God and chosen our own paths rather than his. So God will do something fascinating. He will lay on him, the person Jesus Christ, who the prophet is foretelling. He said, God will lay on him the sins of us all. The punishment for sin is death, so death must be served. And the only one that can pay for it is the one whom the sin has been caused against. God is the only one that can pardon our sin. His death alone can satisfy his perfect and righteous judgment and wrath. You know, when they would crucify men and women, but men in Rome, what they would do is they would nail the accusations against the criminal to the cross. And when Jesus was nailed to that cross, all of Brian's sins, my brokenness, my hurts, my willful unlawfulness against God and what he has decreed, my wickedness and my depravity against him, that was nailed above the face of Jesus. And when Satan comes to accuse me before God and say, these are Brian's sins, these are his lawless deeds, these are his rebellions against you, God does not see those because those have been placed on the person of Jesus. So when we look at the cross, we're reminded that it's not just God with us. No, it is God instead of us. But in all of this, understand we need something so much more than just a shoulder to cry on and God with us. And we need so much more. We need so much more than just a God who is willing to take the nails in his own hands and his own feet for our sin. But we need a Savior who will conquer death and who will rise to new life. When we look at the cross, the third truth that we're reminded of The third display and wonder of Jesus on the cross is that he will rise to new life. And it's this, it's that God is for us. It's God with us, it's God instead of us, and it's God for us. God did not remain dead. Jesus did not stay in the grave. But what he did was 3 days later, he rose to new life, conquering not just sin on the cross, but death ultimately in his resurrection. When I look back on those beautiful autumn landscapes, when I hold that aspen leaf in my hand, and when I display the beauty and the wonder of that leaf that is dead, there's something else that's in my mind. I know this, that day by day, spring is coming. And spring will bring new life and beauty and warmth once again. And when we look at the cross and we understand that God is for us, look what he writes in the very middle of verse 20 in Galatians 2. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We've been united with Christ in his death. We will be united with Christ in new life. Day by day, spring is coming. But moment by moment, Christ is coming. A Messiah, a Savior, who will make all things new. That is good news, and that is good for us to be reminded of. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look to be reminded of your faithfulness to us in the midst of this season, Lord, we look to the cross. The beauty of a man hung on a tree to die. But Lord, in the crucifixion of Jesus, we see a picture of God with us. We see a picture of God instead of us. And ultimately, yes, a God who is for us. Lord, strengthen us with that hope. Remind us of it constantly. And Lord, we gather in celebration this upcoming Sunday because we know that there is a Messiah who is coming that will make all things new. In the name and the powerful name of Jesus do we pray. Amen. God bless you.